Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Probably one of the, he's probably one of the most beloved walk-ons. You put him out there, the Trey Drapers, I don't know. They're like in a tier one of it. He's now an author, like Trey Draper is. Nathaniel Root, now an author. He wrote author wrote about his Calipari days, and he'll be a part of this reunion tonight. We'll talk about that with him, his special guest at 12:30, that and much more. NFL weekend, Bears lost, but there were important, relevant wins for important, relevant teams. Bears, four-game win streak done. I'm over it. Titans, ugh. Yeah. A lot more to discuss. We'll do that in hour number two.
Colts are good, though.
Cam just can't. He turns the ball over. Colts are good. Cam can't stop turning the ball over. He's a turnover machine. Yep. So we've got a ton to discuss. I got to give Ole Miss some love because we doubted them. Someone here doubted them going into that game against Oklahoma. We'll do all that. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sports Talk on 92.9 FM ESPN and Jason and John presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
And then the soon-to-be first team All-NBA rookie, first team All-Rookie NBA, wing?
Yeah.
Said I wasn't trying to get 30 points myself. I was trying to get us up 30. Very wise.
I like that.
Yeah. Showing that maturity. Hour number two, usually around this time, we do a little thing we call the rundown. Let's do it. Talked a lot of Memphis Tigers football there in that first hour, and we will talk some more. But now Memphis Tigers basketball, because they've got their first exhibition of the season tonight. We know who it's against because we've talked a lot about it. Number 14, Arkansas. Coached by John Calipari, the former Memphis coach. In town, that game will tip off at 8. Memphis women also going to play the Vanderbilt women. So it should be a good event. It's all for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. All good, all to the good. And it'll be our first chance. You know, we've talked a lot about Cal coming back to play Memphis for the first time. He's been back to FedEx Forum before for NCAA tournament. But it'll obviously be our first chance to get to see this team. Penny Hardaway's got 0 returning players from last season.
Wow.
Yeah. 0 returning players. It's a note from Memphis. Had to make sure from last year's 29-6 team. The Tigers are one of only 9 programs in the country that don't return a single player from 24-25. Yeah. Penny's really doing it the hard way. We've talked about it as he's done it. We've talked about how hard, he's left himself a lot of work in these off seasons. And it's not, you know, from a lack of effort. He obviously tried to keep P.J. Haggerty to a point where it felt like P.J. Haggerty almost was asking for too much. And we know, you know, from the reporting, what John's told us, you know, Memphis at one point withdraws its offer. It's why it feels like P.J. Haggerty's making less at this point at Kansas State. That said, so he's tried to keep some of these guys, obviously. You've had others leave. And then what you've done really is gone to, you know, a lot of one-year guys that come in with 1 year. And so a brand-new team for Memphis where there's a little bit more familiarity, obviously, for this Arkansas team that comes in, as we said, a top 15 team with some real designs, perhaps, on being one of the better teams this year in the SEC. Because I don't know, you know, Auburn going to be coming down. You know, maybe there's some of that upper-tier pecking order is going to be coming down a little bit and some room for Arkansas certainly to go up. But tonight, you know, yes, it'll be a look at the Tigers, our first. For those that weren't down at the Ballin' on Beal event, saw those guys, that's just, you know, getting up some shots, everything else. You don't get a chance to see them against competition. We'll see this to-a-man new Memphis team against what should be a pretty good Arkansas team. So there should be some pretty good, you know, takeaways, at least, of, you know, initial impressions. You know, Dub McDaniel's a guy that I didn't intend to go here, but I didn't. This is a real stat I had not paid attention to, but Memphis is a great one from the Memphis Athletic Department. Memphis is the only program in the country to have produced one of the nation's top 10 leading scorers in each of the last three seasons. That's Kendrick Perkins was eighth.
Okay.
David Jones was sixth. And last year, P.J. Haggerty, second-team AP All-American, was third in the country.
Interesting.
And so as you look to this year's team and thinking about, well, is there a top 10 scorer in the country, you'd look at Doug McDaniel and you'd say, well, that's a guy that can probably do that. And so maybe it's four straight years, as Penny has always had one of those sorts of guys. Keep in mind, you know, you were waiting on P.J. Haggerty for a long time there, expecting him to be the guy in that position. So to be able to go out and pull together the backcourt that you did with Doug, who maybe is a guy that can be a top 10 scorer in the country, we'll see. Maybe that's not the best thing for this team, but he certainly would be capable of. And then to get a Sincere Parker, who hopefully can play, you know, off the court issues set to the side. Hopefully that all gets cleared up and he's ready to go. Got a pretty good backcourt for one that had to wait. While Penny Hardaway had to wait on P.J. Haggerty to make his decision before you go. Because, again, you don't go get a Doug McDaniel if you're going to get, you know, if you're going to get P.J. Haggerty. Because you want that ball in PJ's hands if he's coming back. So my point is you had to kind of slow play and wait. So to get the backcourt they did, not too bad at all. And we'll get a chance, obviously, to see them out there. I expect Sincere Parker, like he was at Ballin' on Beal, even with his legal issues, to be a part of things until further notice. He certainly seems like that's going to be the case. And I suppose that's the way to go with it, especially if you know believe the young man. We've heard from his attorney, Arthur Horn, who hopes to get this wrapped up at some point where he is clear, in terms of this off the court issue with Sincere Parker, and but we'll see where that goes. I expect him to be out there tonight. More importantly, you'll have, and we'll talk bottom of the hour, hopefully, with one of the guys that'll be out there, Nathaniel Root, and a special guest that I imagine is one of Cal's former players as well. We'll talk to them bottom of the hour. But you've got that. You've got, you know, three, four dozen of Cal's former players. Very curious to see which guys make it. We've heard the list from the ALSAC folks who have worked extremely hard tracking guys down, you know, whether they've got Supreme Bay, formerly CDR, who knows, whether they've got Derrick Rose, but we know the effort was there. Some of those guys pretty hard to get. Parth had told us that, you know, last week it was kind of funny, kind of understand the other guy. Joey Dorsey, I think they were still trying to get, and then Pierre Henderson Niles. I kind of joked on Friday, what in the world is Pierre Henderson Niles doing? Let's get him on down. And I think Pierre is still in Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. But it's been a while since I've seen last time I saw him was down at Southwest. It's been one of the old celebrity classics that when they tried to bring it back. And I hope Pierre Henderson Niles is doing well and able to get down. Did hear a couple of heard Root on the radio earlier today, along with Earl Barron. So I'm hoping maybe, you know, we'll hear from those guys as well when we get a chance to talk to them. But it should be a fun night. We'll get a newsy look at the Tigers first time out, you know, against a ranked opponent, and have a chance to have some takeaways. I'm curious. I have no idea how much my partner will be able to see it if he's back from his NASCAR and Virginia Tech experience. But I'll certainly be watching and have some first impressions and takeaways. And then again, should be a special night. How you think Cal will be received by the
I heard Jeff talk
7
about
plus
that.
1,000 that are down there tonight? Hopefully it's closer to 10.
Well, I'm hoping plus. And by the way, for folks wanting tickets, you don't go to Go Tigers Go to get your tickets. I'm sure I'm not the only one that did that. Mm-hmm. You go to the stjude.org, the tip-off classic, or you can just go to the FedEx Forum box office or the FedEx Forum website. You can buy the tickets there. The men's game tips at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. The Vandy women's game against the Lady Tigers is at 5:30. My suspicions are 8 o'clock helps you probably fill that building a little more because we're used to the 7 o'clock tip, and you got a nice you know, pregame with not pregame, but it's an equally good game between the women's and the Vanderbilt team. So I would think you're going to get to 10. I've heard that there was a donation, a couple donations, and they bought tickets and they gave those away this weekend. What do you think? 10? Would that, if you get the lower bowl full, that'd be nice.
I don't know. There was a lot going on this weekend with Memphis football. Grizzlies were in town, and so with Parth having told us that it was at 7,000, that included the 1,000 that the anonymous donor bought.
There was another donation, I guess, this weekend. They said.
Oh, okay. Was there one? Well, good. Well, maybe you do have
Parth
one.
Or somebody.
So you've had 2,000 ticket donations.
Now I'm not sure if this was 1,000, but they said it was in the hundreds for the other donation. So
I'm hopeful that it does. I'd rather focus it that way than on.
Really like to have a crowd there though.
Predictions. I wonder about you. You said the 8 o'clock start. I wonder if on a Monday that's tough
too
on a
late.
School night for some folks.
Maybe.
Here's the other thing I would say about the Cal.
It'll be a good
about
reception.
The Cal reception before we move on. Is I don't think the people that have paid to go down there are that still hot at him that they would pay to go boo. Right.
Yeah. I don't think it's
going to
be
paying,
boo at all.
And you're going to boo, you're doing it. You're paying to go make your statement, to say how much he hurt you when he left, or maybe it was the way he left with the taking of the players or them moving on to Kentucky. But if you're paying to go boo, my point would be, I think the people that want to sort of show them their appreciation are the ones that would be willing to pay and go. Obviously, you'll have some Tigers fans that are down there just to see this Memphis team for the first time. But I think for those that are buying into this reunion, you're not paying to go down there and boo Cal. You're paying to go down there and give him a standing ovation.
You're not
going
to hear any boos at all tonight because you're insulated by the players. When you have former players,
1,000%,
you are insulated because we're going to pay tribute to those players. Frankly, more so than Cal, although Cal will be the beneficiary of it.
And the way to do that is to walk him out there with the players.
Yes.
You want to avoid it completely, and I'm in agreement with you. I don't think there'll be many down there to do it, but you want to avoid it completely. Just have him walk out with the guys.
All the players.
I guess we can introduce them all one by one. That could get long. What you could do is just have him walk out there, and you will have nothing but adulation. You'll have nothing but a standing ovation. That's the way to handle that. And frankly, it could have been handled like that if they'd done this correctly when they brought him back for the Hall of Fame
thing.
If they'd walked him out there with his players around him, he's going into the Hall of Fame that weekend or right around that time that they could have had him back. Rudd decided not to do it because there was some backlash on social media. Still a lot of people, boosters behind the scenes that wanted to get that done for Cal. It didn't happen. They canceled it. But you could have done it then, even if you had to bring him back. Halftime or whatever else, would have been a little weird with him still a sitting head coach at the school that he left you for, but you walk him out there with the players, Brad. So between that and the fact that I don't think people are paying to go down there and boo him, because time has passed, and here's the other thing, you ain't been to a Sweet 16 since he left.
That's it.
And I realize you could still harbor ill will toward the man, but what you realize is, my gosh, he did a hell of a job for this program that has, frankly, we've seen how hard it is since.
Yep.
And especially with the, as we continue to put it, the sort of shifting scape, landscape of college athletics. It hadn't gotten any easier for Memphis to win. We've said, okay, in this conference now you should with the investment level, but in terms of advancing in the tournament, when most of the time, an AAC champion, sometimes you're going to be the 8-9 seed. I don't know. You can be a Houston. You can be a Memphis like last year and get a 5 seed, but those seem to be, those are tougher to do. And so it's tougher to operate in this day and age than it was back then. And still, Cal was not just operating well in his time. He was elite. I don't know that we'll ever get back to that electricity. Penny calls it fandemonium, about Tigers basketball. But I know one thing that can do it is, again, consistent runs that create new generations of fans.
Yep.
That's harder to do in a town that's got John Morant, and Penny has acknowledged that, right? In a town that's got – but that's the way you've got to get it done, and it's got to be consistent. And so hopefully Memphis can find a way. It starts tonight in this exhibition against Arkansas. In a couple of days, Memphis will be playing an exhibition against Auburn, and then we'll be off and running. So Tigers basketball tonight getting started against an old friend in John Calipari. All right, LSU didn't wait. It said, you're out of here.
Gone.
Were
you surprised when you saw the news?
Nah, Miles Orgeron both win national titles. This guy's acting – I mean, this thing is unraveling to a point that you wonder if Nussmeier should even continue on with the season. You saw the players. It looked like they folded on you. This was a 24-point loss, wasn't it? Yes. 49-25
at
in
home.
Your house.
Yeah. And it's very good, though, I will say that.
This is an LSU team that expects to compete for national championships, yeah. And it's only going to give you so many years, and especially when you add this level of dysfunction with the arrogance.
Yep.
I realize he had an apology earlier this year. Well, fake accent's been from the jump, so that never really helped him.
No.
He always seemed out of place.
It was out of place. Bad hire.
But if you win, they weren't going to mind it.
No.
They're going to be fine that you don't talk like Ed, so long as you're winning and you've got them, you talk like them.
Right.
So long as you're winning, they're fine with you. And Brian Kelly wasn't winning enough. And that 49-25 loss was enough for, in this case, Scott Woodward to say, we got to move on from you. It's, Brian Kelly's going to get another job at some point, and that's apparently going to help offset some of the money that LSU pays. But I think we've seen his ceiling as a head coach. Because I wonder, and maybe in a different way than Trent Dilfer, but I wonder if the folks at LSU right now that are under Brian Kelly, the way he runs his ship, right, with a lot of – you saw it in the game. He was going in on folks, going off like it's their fault and not his.
Right.
Like, you're not the guy that hired these folks. You're not the guy that recruited these folks. There's a ceiling when you coach like that, it feels like.
Sure.
Now, a Nick Saban, whatever else, have shown us they can coach with fear, whatever else, reverence go off on people. But they've also shown you they can adjust. They can adjust their ways. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban did offensively, whether it was hiring an analyst, a hotshot offense coordinator, whatever it was. He said, I got to change it up. Brian Kelly's always thought he can win it his way with that level of arrogance and not enough adjustments. He had a 4,000-yard quarterback. He had a 4,000-yard quarterback last season in Nussmeier, and he's ruining him this season because he can't keep him protected. And so I don't know. I thought he was a higher level of coach, I'll be honest with you. I said, well, if Ed can win a national title again at LSU, Brian Kelly, who at the time when he said, I've taken Notre Dame as high as I can go, I think we kind of thought maybe he had. Now, Marcus Freeman came in and proved him wrong.
Yes.
But we thought good coach, and certainly as a better coach than Orgeron, maybe even as good as the less. And we thought, well, LSU's always going to recruit. It can recruit itself. He'll go to the SEC and do well. And he's underperformed. Most losses versus AP-ranked teams since he became coach in 2022, that would be LSU, 13 of them. Now, you play more when you're in the SEC, but that's Brian Kelly on those 13 losses. 23-13 against AP-ranked teams since his hiring in 2012. That's not going to get it done, and especially when you're losing by 24 points in Death Valley.
Yep.
Remember how the eyebrow sort of that he raised at us when he went in there and beat Clemson. They were talking about the real Death Valley and everything
yeah.
to start the year.
I remember that.
Man, he was feeling real good.
Feeling himself.
And shooting shots at Dabo and all that, and just – it seems like it's it's all sort of come back around and cost him now, because the arrogance doesn't help you. You know, it's one thing if you're going through this, and again, I would tell you, you only got so far to go because LSU's expectations. But if you're saying this is on me, if the apologies feel real, if you don't ever need to apologize because you're not going off on folks who are questioning why your offense can't run the ball at that time that he went off on that reporter. But that's always been Brian Kelly. And when you treat people like that, you're going to eventually have a shorter leash when you're not giving them a nationally relevant program. And like I said, in terms of the spotlight, LSU's as big a program as it gets, and he's sitting there with 13 losses to AP-ranked teams, the most in the country since 2022. There's just no defending it anymore. So Brian's out. What was it, $54 million or so?
Yeah.
That he'll get, and some of that, I guess, will be, he's owed just more than $54 million. He was out of the office by early Sunday after being informed, didn't come back. They're on a bye week this week, so they'll have some time to figure it all out, how they're going to finish out the rest of the season. But in an SEC that has felt wide open this year, and maybe it's not as wide open, A&M, I don't know. Maybe it's not
really
wide
good.
Open. But LSU had a chance, especially bringing back a 4,000-yard passer in Nussmeier. They were supposed to be a lot better than this. And so Kelly at 64 years old, he'll be moving on.
If you'll humor me for a second, there's been rumors that Brian Kelly would be a good candidate at UCLA as a head coach. We got some footage through the X account. I'm playing the role of John Martin here since he's not here with us today. This is Brian Kelly interviewing at UCLA.
Dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like you pull in and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Whoop! Drop down, snap, and then after that, you just drop in, just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted like that.
That's how he's going. So flip it up and change it. That's what he does. He's a chameleon.
He just is an amoeba when it comes to how he adapts.
He can absolutely change
it. It's a bad hire from the gate, I think. And I don't. Maybe we should have seen it. I mean, because when you're that freaking arrogant and you throw your old program under the bus and you set up Marcus Freeman to be a freaking hero, like he has done amazing things and way outperformed you in terms of he's going to be making the college football playoff. It just seems like he's never going to miss now at Notre Dame. And they're actually, it's the opposite of what Brian Kelly said. If you remember, he's like, well, you know, it's changing and we're Notre Dame and we're independent. They're not it's actually all of those things are better for them because they're always going to be right outside. You know, they're going to be there and they're going to get into the playoff.
He was so busy trying to tell us that he had gotten into its ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. We maxed out at Notre Dame. No, you didn't.
Right. And again, not considering, okay, what happens with the coach that comes behind me? There's an arrogance.
Yes.
And that it can be. And that if there's a guy like Marcus Freeman who can take it to the next level, that hurt him. You stay arrogant at LSU in a place where, with the way they can recruit,
yeah,
you're always going to be on a hot seat. And so if you're constantly disappointing in those 13 AP losses since 2022 are evidence of that.
Yes.
No, they're not going to give you a super long time there. What I can't do, because I think most of us, I know me, I thought a lot of smart people thought, okay, yes, he's arrogant.
It'll just
but
work.
He's a good
His
enough
talent.
Coach.
Yeah.
And add that to the talent that LSU already automatically gets with whoever the coach
yes.
is. That by year three, year four is going to be competing for national championships. We thought at the time, you know, Saban, whoever else. Because again, remember when he got the job, Saban's still in there. Said maybe that'll get him there. I think we were reasonable to assume that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But
what we couldn't have seen was like dysfunction, like we've seen this year on offense, like Brian Kelly being a poor coach, and again on the sidelines, absolutely losing it, and your team checking out on you as a result of it. So I bet they're going to feel free now that he's gone.
There are very few coaches, in my opinion, that can be micromanagers and yell at their assistants the way that Brian Kelly spoke to his assistants and to that assistant athletic director after the game last night. There are very few people, and maybe one, maybe two, Kirby and Nick. Those might be the two that can do it. I don't see a scenario with the way that the guys are paid now and the way, like, you can't micromanage people at that level. These are pros.
I don't know that I see him going off on assistants and all that and players in this with the same level of venom as Brian Kelly, but I do see an arrogance that's been built up over time because of what he won and Dabo.
You see some of that.
He's had it thrown back in his face, because we got some of it earlier this year from him, and he had it thrown back in his face where he had come back, lose the game, and all of a sudden stuff. Because what he's done is, well, I've won national championships. Who's going to do better? We got that speech earlier this year. And so that's my – once that level falls off.
Yeah, once you start losing a game.
You can still go around spitting and going off on folks and saying this is the way it's going to be, but once that level drops off, that time that they're willing to put up with that is going to get a lot shorter. Yeah. And he has almost gotten himself, just from my book, kind of in that sort of arrogant sort of vibe too.
I agree with you.
Hey, I'm going to adjust and do a little portal action. Remember, you had been against that. We said these guys that don't adjust, they don't stay on top.
That's it.
Nick and Kirby, they adjusted. That's how they've stayed on top. But I thought Dabo had sort of reached that an arrogance level that comes close to Brian Kelly.
Well,
and if he's not careful, he'll be, you know, Clemson ain't you're never bigger than the program.
No.
And I just wonder whether Dabo Swinney thinks that at this point with where he's built Clemson, that he is.
The problem is most programs don't have the money that LSU does to just fire their coach and not worry about $60 million. You might be able to do it at Florida State. But it's like all these coaches now, they're so freaking arrogant and they run like a CEO and then they yell at their assistants and the assistant athletic director on the field. Like, and they don't even do coaches shows where they talk to the fans anymore. Like Dabo was bitching about having to go on shows and talk to Janet
get
called out. Like, you should have to do that. Like, you should have to open up the phone lines and talk to fans. Like, it drives me.
Seems like that's all been phased out now. Because, you know, one thing about it is you don't know who's good. You got somebody pranking you. You got somebody that's actually after your program. You got real.
Put it on delay, though.
When it's real people. No, you're right. I mean, you're a radio man. You can always put it on delay and kill it.
It's just,
is that not still going to get uncomfortable, though? But there's a way to cut it down.
There's a way. In my opinion, it's a cop-out. You know, once again, Jason, it's another example, in my opinion. There might be 30 stadiums that can be insulated in full on Saturdays. There's not 50. There ain't 60. There's a reason why there's only so many people that can pay the money to go to these football games. Mississippi State couldn't raise their ticket prices because they're not good enough this year. So I vent a little bit because, like, my wife and I, we split the season tickets at State. just only to see them lose to Texas, but I'll give it up. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the arrogance to me is not good for the sport. And it ultimately cost Brian because he's not winning.
Well, as he said, it cost me, but I got 54 million reasons.
Yeah,
why
my wife wants me to be a fired
assistant. Done me pretty good.
My wife says, why can't you be a fired football coach? I'm like, because I didn't start coaching football early enough.
And there's no promise you'd ever gotten up and made the millions.
That kind of dough. Yeah.
You never know. You might have been working forever and not gotten the call up.
Did you see the amount of money these guys? I mean, we're now, because of Penn State, you got LSU, probably going to have Florida State after the year.
Yeah, I mean,
Florida's done.
I love Mike Norvell. They'd be fools not to fire him at the end of the season. You have to get the money. No question about it. Hopefully, Nathaniel Root's going to make a whole bunch of money off of his new book. We're going to talk about it with him. When we come back, he's got a special guest, he says, that'll be joining us as well. They're going to be a part tonight, obviously, of Calipari's return to FedEx Forum with Memphis taking on Arkansas. Going to be a special time for a reunion of guys. We'll talk to Nathaniel Root, former Memphis walk-on, on the other side. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, it is a reunion, the pre-reunion, because we've got a fleet of former Tigers. We've got, as we said, Nathaniel Root, the beloved former walk-on.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There at Memphis. He's not just a former Tiger and beloved former walk-on. He is now an author, and we're going to talk about his book. He's joined by an NBA champion, Earl Barron, who was also one of Root's teammates. Y'all know Earl Barron. Those guys are going to be down there tonight at FedEx Forum, as well as, special surprise, man, I was in school. You wouldn't know this. I was an older student and messed up at TSU, and I was back in school covering y'all. Courtney Trask is here. I wrote about him for the Daily Helmsman back. All of these guys. That was my time back at the Helmsman before I got to the CA. Courtney Trask joins us as well. So it is a reunion of former Tigers who are getting ready for tonight's reunion. As you've got John Calipari, their former coach, coming back as the coach of Arkansas to play Memphis for the first time in FedEx Forum. We're excited about that. Root, I'm even more excited because you've been telling me this was coming for a while. I'm excited that I now have a copy, a personalized copy, an autographed copy of your book, man. Congratulations on this. Root, a Memphis hoop dream. Congrats, bro.
Man, I appreciate it. It's been fun. Like I said earlier, it took about a year and a half, 2 years, putting it all together, writing it start to finish. But I just wanted to put my story out there that I feel would inspire our younger generation to follow their dreams. But, you know, also us older guys, you know, this is a new dream of mine to do this and see it become successful. So even, you know, when you get older, still chasing dreams and if you got a dream, go chase it and make it happen.
How long a process was this for you? Now I'm going to defend you here. I heard our guys off air, Brother Barron and Brother Trask, giving you a hard time. So they didn't think you could do this. How about this process?
It was about a 2 year, you know, like I said, 2 year process from start to finish. And I tell you this, getting back with these guys, which we talk all the time, we see each other regularly. But I wouldn't have it any other way than messing with me.
A trip back down memory lane.
Exactly. And that's all last night was. All day yesterday, last night, was just a trip down memory lane the whole time.
So talk about that and being around these guys. We just listened to them off air talking about the NIT team, losing in the first round. Having these guys back around you, does it feel like all of a sudden, you know, those years that were in between, maybe not so long, and you're right back there joking around the days in the dorm? What's it feel like?
It's amazing. Like we just got right back going to where we left off last time we saw each other. All of us, I mean, you know, DeJuan Wagner, OG Barclay, Moody, Chiron Chapman, Shannon Foreman, Shamel Jones. I mean, we just all picked up right where we left off from the last time of being together yesterday at Cal's practice. And then we stayed a little bit for the Memphis, but then we all hung out afterwards and then had dinner with the Arkansas team. And, man, it just – for all of us to get back together, we just literally picked up right where we left off.
How many, Earl, of these – and you went on and won NBA championships. How many of these sort of reunions where you can get back with the guys have there been? And does this one feel like it's been sort of overdue?
Definitely overdue. I would say during COVID, we did a reunion with the Heat, which was pretty cool. Everybody got on. But it was, you know, everything was Zoom, you know, so we really didn't get to be around each other. But similar to my time here, it's hard to gel. You know, college basketball has changed. But when you're with guys for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you just build a trust and a camaraderie that, you know, it's not matched. And that's, out of all my years, Memphis by far is probably the best time I had. But you know, yeah, it was the NBA, but Miami, we were just a close bunch team that it kind of reminds me of how good we got along, of how we had each other's back, and it just showed with our play on the court, just how much fun we have on and off the court. It's just like, you know, I can mess up, Courtney can mess up, Root can mess up, but we like, next play, keep it moving.
You guys, and I realize it now, and listening to you guys, you were part of a very important transition in Memphis basketball history, where you're coming that time after Larry, where frankly the program didn't know, right? You got Tick, you got Johnny, and that's what I realized is, I mean, at one point you guys and Earl kind of set off air, y'all were in the mud. We didn't know, you know, the expectations were high for the program, but we had no idea where it was going to go. You had the Tick Price incident and everything else. So I'm just curious, asking all three of you guys, in terms of Cal, and tonight is, you know, having Cal back, you had different coaches. So what's he meant to you in terms of his coaching? Because he's been just a part of y'all's journeys, and you've had other coaches, but what's that time with him that you did spend? What's it meant to you, and how much has that bond stayed strong?
The time with Cal, he showed us what it was like to really get after it. Cal was different from most coaches that we had. I was used to the down south coaches who – you know, they're going to love you and talk soft to you and make sure you're good. And Cal was completely different. As you know, I ended up transferring 17, 18 years old, not really understanding, you know, his method of doing things. Yeah. But the hardest thing was, you know, he pushed us. He pushed us really hard, but we all had each other's back. You know, Earl had hard times with him, hard days. Root did. But we all made sure, hey, I'm coming to get you in the morning. We're going to show up again, and we're going to show up again. And I think it showed towards the end of the year, we ended up making it to the NIT Finals, Final Four. But I think that was the beginning of what Cal was going to bring for the years going forward.
How tough was it? And you remind me, man. I want to say you came in as a 4-star, 5-star, like or Harold, or were you, the way you're looking out makes me think 3-star. Now you're gonna take me back on the story, and then that part, Cal, man, and how tough that those lashes, and was that ultimately the reason, and you're a grown man now, and you've matured, and you can look back, was that ultimately the reason why you said, you know what, I'm a roll, man, he's too tough?
So I was more of a 2-3-star, me and Earl.
Okay, I'm going to get you up to 3.
They,
okay, I'm not, yeah.
So you remember they lost the point guard, Coach Price and Coach Jones, I had known them all my life. They came right in and came on my visit, hung out with Earl, Marcus Moody, all the guys, and I canceled all my other visits. I mean, I love Memphis that much just from the first time I came. And, you know, what we went through with Coach Price and then playing for Coach Jones, that was great. Coach Jones was a great guy. But my thing with Cal was, like I said, I didn't get a chance to see how he was with his point guards. I was his first point guard when he returned back to college. And, I mean, he rolled me. He was on me. And these guys will tell you, I thought he hated me.
Right, and this is different than who you signed up with. And so you start thinking the man hates you.
Right, and so, like you said, going forward, as I've gotten older, and I got to see how he was with D. Rose and Tyreek and all these different guards that he bumped heads with at some point in the season, I didn't get to see that. And so for me, it was just.
And you're young,
like
man.
Yeah, he don't like me. You know, maybe I should just go where I'm wanted, go back home. And, I mean, these guys, they tried their hardest. Like, man, you know, we done been through it all together. Like, stick it out. But I had never endured that type of treatment. I'm saying treatment, but it wasn't, you know.
It's like, that tough love, real hard, some lashes.
He tested you mentally, just as much physically. He tested you mentally.
So you guys would be going through it yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pointing to Rude and to Barron. And then seeing him trying to deal with you, trying to hold yourselves up, but then support him.
Yeah, exactly.
See, people don't realize it's kind of like I always tell people, we were like the step kids, you know. We were, Tick Price recruited us, brought us in. We were under Johnny Jones, and then Calipari came. So it was just like, okay, they're bringing in, you know, DeJuan Irwins, the Mr. Basketballs, the Scooter McFaddens, the Tony O'Burks, the Modibo DRs, you know, the Chris Masseys. So it's like, man, these guys are good. Like, I'm not used to this. I'm a 2-star honorable mention from it. Like, this is all new to me, and he's riding you so hard. It's like, you know, you don't understand it. Like Courtney said, once you get older, I think he kind of set the bar of what it's like to work, you know, what you have to deal with in the game of basketball. People think it's like, oh, if I was 7 foot, I could just go out there. It's like, no, it's more to the game than just picking up a ball and going to shoot. I said, you got to be in tip-top shape.
Yep.
You got to be mentally prepared. You got to be ready to, like, even Root, when he was at Memphis, he knew every position, which kind of helped him. So once I got to the league, it was like, okay, I do know I need to learn the playbook. I got to know all plays. I can jump in for the point guard if he's tying his shoe or something. Yep. And the coaches look at me like, you know his, yeah, I know all of them. So, you know, Cal kind of set that bar for whether it's the sprints we did, how hard you have to be, you know, work out in the weight room, preparing for the season to where you're going to make mistakes, but you know, my body's right, my mind's right, I'm ready for war. I'm going to miss shots, I might make some turnovers here and there, but I'm ready. And I think Cal kind of set that bar and set that standard for me, you know, throughout my career.
It's amazing to have you telling that story to me and saying it, because I think one of the things we've always thought, those that have covered Memphis and watched you for a long time and said about you, was that time with Cal and those lashings and all that. Mm-hmm. It hardened Earl up, and it helped make him the pro that he ended up turning out to be. And I mean, you just said that in a lot of words, but I was listening to you this morning. I'll just say with Wolo, there were a lot of guys that, right? I mean, I heard you, Spoelstra was huge in that.
Yeah.
And frankly,
Matt,
you know,
Riley.
And frankly, if Earl Barron's doesn't have his ears open, right? They might get that advice. They're not willing to take it and grab onto it. So just, yes, that Cal time was important. Many of us have kind of chalked that up. Oh man, that really helped Earl. Yeah. But maybe giving it too much credit, there were a lot of folks that had fingerprints on the career that you had.
People would try to say, oh, you know, this, that, and the other, and I'm like, hey, a lot of this stuff was Earl. Like, I kind of carved my path once I got
Earl Barron. Yes,
I didn't really have any numbers, and I had a little chip on my shoulders. Like, I felt like I could do a lot more things, but we had a lot of talent at Memphis, you know. And you understand, even in the NBA, you get there and guys are like, I'm like, look, you're going to be the fourth and fifth option. They're not going to be relying on you to score. I said, you go first thing first, you get out there and you work hard. You know, you bust your, you know.
Yeah.
You rebound, you charge, you do all the little things. And then if you get some shots, that's a extra. And so I kind of, at Memphis, it's like, you know what? this is my role. This is what he want me to do. I want to be on the court. So whatever it takes to be on the court, you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And after college, it was like, okay, I can do a little bit more. You know, I can change my role. And, you know, it was a fun journey. But, like, you look back and just like, man, it was some tough times and to start here. But having guys like, you know, Root and Courtney, we lived together for, you know, 2 years, me and Courtney, me and Root, 4 years basically. And, you know, you just build that camaraderie to where it's just like we trust each other. We're not going to be late. Hey, you got practice. We got study hall.
Responsible.
You got a 9 o'clock class. What you doing in the room? You know, you need to get up. Let's go, man.
And Cal was big on us on that. He's like, you know, if you're leaving your dorm, your apartment, and your roommate ain't awake, man, you better bang on that door and get him up. You're just as responsible as they are.
Yeah.
You know, don't be selfish. Get him up.
How one thing that we always, as media, we look back on the Cal years and we point to, you know, he was always telling the media, man, go screw yourself. You know, he talked about backing over Jeff Calkins' columns. You know, was media ever talked about? Was it ever them versus us? You know what I'm saying? Or they doubt you? Was that ever played in? You know, was that ever part of his sort of speeches? You know what I'm saying?
To not remember specifically, but he never was negative to in front of us about it. You know, he might, you know, I'm sure there were games or something that he would, you know, try to use fuel for a fire, but there was never a constant or
that
anything.
Fire was in-house. It wasn't
from outside. He's really good at finding the buttons to push to get
now
you
that
going.
I knew that that week we knew, and we've seen it throughout his career. What's something about him that maybe folks don't know about Cal? Like, you know, we hear about the legacy, all the, you know, the players, and one thing, you know, in the recruiting pitches you would hear all the time, but his NBA guys have gone out and got those second contracts, so generational wealth. I mean, he's helpful. What's something we don't
know? I'll tell you something people won't know. Amari Stoudemire came in on a recruiting visit and was going to sign at Memphis. And I believe, Earl, were you with us, with him as a host?
Maybe.
I don't know. I remember sitting in the conference room with him and Cal looking across the table at him. And this is Amari Stoudemire, you know, NBA going to be a Hall of Famer, and said, you come here, I'm not promising you anything. I'm not promising you start. I'm not promising you shots. I'm not promising you minutes. All I'm going to promise is, while you're here, I'll make you the best player you can be, and when it's time to go, I'm shipping you to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, we never got him because he got drafted ninth that year.
Yep.
But that right there, I was like, wow, you're telling Amari Stoudemire this. I'm not promising you anything.
Yeah, impressive.
And I would say that, like, when we travel, like, when we would go out of town, we don't, you know, we get barbecue, good food here, you know, a little Southern cooking. But, man, when we would travel, man, he would find the best, like, restaurants for us to experience, like, some good, high quality, fine Italian dining. You know, we would go to New York, and I'm just like, this is an Olive Garden. This is an Olive Garden.
He treated us like an NBA franchise.
Yeah, he did.
In this day and age, he would have had a hard time keeping all y'all because NIL and everything else. Root would have wanted some money and a scholarship, and Earl would have transferred
to a P4. See, I'm not like Root. Root's a little greedy. Root and Courtney probably want more. They probably would have left me here by myself.
It's just changed so much just in the time that you guys have been gone. I don't. How do y'all as old heads, how do you keep a chemistry and build a, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say old.
Man, we all do have some gray in our beards now.
Man, Baron, EB does look young. Even though he's a dad now, he's got them Miami shades on.
He is clean, man. Like he come in here like,
somewhere. I'm just curious, man. When I'll change the subject and put it back this way. You see the job that Penny has now. Right, where you're getting new rosters in. Even the team that came behind y'all with later on with Dorsey and CDR and those guys, they were able to stay together. Like even that's changed
core.
Since
then.
The core, exactly. That's the word I'm looking for, EB. How difficult, when y'all look at it now as you do, is the job for Penny and in this day and age keeping a winner in college basketball?
I feel like now the quicker the coaches can adapt because it's a new evolution of, you know, before it's like, all right, I might have 2 years. I might have 3 years. Now it's like, I got 8 months, 12 months to get all these guys on the same page because I don't know who's going to be here next year. And it's a matter of how quick can you get the guys to buy in.
That's it.
How quick can you get
fast.
The guys to trust. How quick can you get the guys on the court to trust each other, you know, as opposed to be like, some guys' mindset, I'm here 1 year. I'm trying to average 20.
Right.
I'm trying to go to another school, get my money. I'm trying to go to the league. as opposed to building trust with Root, building trust with
Let
Courtney.
Me develop Shannon, Earl and Courtney, Earl. And right?
That get them to trust me. So when they see me on the court, it's like, okay, I know he got my back. Like, he ready to go ball, you know, regardless.
But
so
I think the
different.
One thing about Cal, even before this era, he always took, especially the Christmas break. At that Christmas break, that team, every team, our mm-hmm. team on, you take off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes him so good even now uh-huh. is he's taking those new players and he's using those that Christmas break, those two-a-days, and he's getting you to buy in even if before that moment now. And I think that's the beauty of mm-hmm. having a Cal. And I think, you know, hopefully Penny will be able to do the same. I think y'all say he had, what, 13 new players?
They're all yeah, there's 15 scholarships now. Yeah. It's different than our day. And, so yeah, they're all new. Zero returning players.
That's tough, man.
And had a second-team AP All-American that's not tough. In the NBA. He's playing for Kansas State this year. Tried to give him $3 million. But and at the time, the kid didn't want it. It's just crazy.
And Penny can only play within the rules that the NCAA, you know, gives him. So if these kids are just allowed to pack up and transfer, you know, he's got to go get new players, right? So,
and I
said this to GP, something's got to change. Because he asked me, you know, when Penny said a few weeks ago about the, what was it, fandemonium? There's not
fandemonium
that's not there. And I said, I told GP, I said, man, to me it's because the roster turnover. But when the NCAA allows this to happen,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So you can't put this all on the coaches at every program. You got to look higher at the NCAA and say, man, something's got to change. Whether it's contracts or, you know, a two-year or three, something has got to change to where these players are in a program longer than just one, and then they're playing at four different programs their whole career.
Yeah, the fans don't have anybody to – you can't build a relationship.
Yeah, you can't build
that. I hear that a lot in the city when it comes to talking Memphis basketball. Yeah. It's like – I don't know who they have. You know what I mean? It's like before, I knew the core. I knew the guys that were there 2-3 years. And now it's like, who do they have now?
Right.
You know, who's the starter?
Every year you're having to relearn.
Who's the shooting guard?
I just bought me a P.J. Haggerty just one day.
Right. Yeah. Now he gone.
Haggerty just now he's gone.
Yeah.
Right now I got to buy a new one.
Can we get a refund on that?
No, I think it speaks to – I was reading a story back where I got my start. Daily Helmsman had done mm-hmm. about your book, I think. And it talked about you, too, in your last game. Yeah. It was an NCAA tournament game. What, first round? Was it Arizona State?
Arizona State, those
guys. And it talked about afterwards, and you two specifically, about coming up out that jersey. You guys are balling, man. You know, because it meant something to you. Yeah. You had been there forever. Yeah. And I wonder if that part – I know there's still a few that mm-hmm. are, you know, there's stories – but if that part's different, you know what I'm saying? If that, because guys going to be out after 1 year, it's not going to mean the same thing to them because they didn't spend a development there, an important part of their time of their life there. You know what I mean?
I've probably played on three or four teams. Memphis being one, I played on a couple great G League teams where it's 10 guys. You know, you got two guys at each position, but the respect, the work ethic, the camaraderie we had on and off the court, it was just a special team. Yes. So once the season ended, that last game, that buzzer sound, we looked across the room, and these guys from New York, Chicago, Detroit, they're from all over, L.A., and it's like we look around the room, and you're like, you know, you get to tear up, like, man, we're not going to be able to do this again.
It's the brotherhood on the road.
You finna go here, and it hits different. Miami was the same way. It was like, man, this is a special group, like, to get all those guys on the same page, all those Hall of Famers and All-Stars, you saw the guys buy in, you watched the magic work. You watched it happen in real time. And,
yep.
and, you know, those teams are special, but you don't have that anymore. You don't have, you know, guys that the last buzzer sound, they're like, all right, let me go get in this.
I know.
Get on my phone, get in this transfer portal.
Man, let me go see if I can get some more NIL.
Yeah.
Now, that is why I'm always going to have a special respect.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for this group, according to you too. I know it was hard. You transferred it, but you guys were the group that got us through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of it, you're in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
That's helping Cal recruit. Yeah. Hey, I got this back. I'm doing it now. I mean, what you guys went through, all that, where you end up, because y'all coming out the mud, like you said, man. You know, between the Tick and Johnny, and I love Johnny to death. He had it, and he did the best job he could. But we needed something at that time. Big Cal comes in. You guys got through that and got us really to the start of it. So I always have – y'all were the foundation. Cal isn't able to recruit the way he did if he doesn't – you know, isn't showing that life and them signs of getting back. Mm-hmm. And so you'll always be tied, you know, certainly to Cal, but you think about it now, man, this program, you know, I think Penny's doing a great job. I love that he's clearly got an energy for it. Hadn't been to a Sweet 16 since Cal left. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're going to need more of that guys like y'all that care about it, not just, you know, the dollar signs, but care about it. And it feels like Penny, and he said this, he's trying to keep 7-8 of these guys, get into a formula where at least you're keeping a core. Yeah.
And if you look at Cal's teams here at Memphis, he had that core. And then he would throw in Derrick Rose.
That's the key.
He would throw in Tyreek Evans. You know what I'm saying? It was that core of
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.